This is a true story. There are proofs of its authenticity, the picture from the vault of the church, the minister's acceptance and encouragement, the coincidental crisscrossing of persons, incidents, and periods of time, and a decided and contemplative conviction that the finger of God moved the pattern of all events that took place from early 1951 to spring 1958. Eleanor B. Wasserman, April 1958.
When the author first came to me some time after the death of her daughter, I knew her to be struggling with a grief too great to bear without some effort on her part to justify the bitter pain of bereavement, to find some working answer to the enigma of human existence. Her quest led her over a curious path, but through the same valley of decision and faith countless others have encountered and will encounter. It is to help the latter that she was led to write her book. Some may have some difficulty in accepting the author's interpretation of the events after her daughter's death. I do myself, although I was in some extent involved in them. I still remember my astonishment when she produced the crayon sketch of the church seen in her dream. It was the pre-Restoration church of which I was then rector, and which she could never have seen. Whatever the valuation placed on this incident, it was the turning point in her life. But it does not in any way affect the validity of the Christian position she reached through her Judeo-Christian background. Some will find their chief interest of the book in the thorough knowledge of Old Testament religion revealed by the author, and how she found its fulfillment and hers in the Christian church. Others will be moved by the personal experience of the author and perhaps find hope in their own situation. At least they will feel that a deep experience shared by them has been put into simple and expressive words and be glad. James S. Cox, Dean of St. Andrew's Cathedral, Honolulu, Hawaii.
For many months after the death of my little girl, in November of 1950, when the miraculous vision and the church records coincided, I told the story to many people. They all wanted to listen. But after a while, like Coleridge's Ancient Mariner, I grew exhausted. I began to leave things out. I still felt, however, the tremendous impulse to tell it. I was impelled to tell it, for I could not hold it within me. I wanted to help others believe, as I had been shown how to believe, particularly parents. When I was granted, quite suddenly, a voice scholarship at the Music Academy of the West in Santa Barbara, California, with the great artist John Charles Thomas and Madame Lot Lehman in the summer of 1951, I rode out on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, and returned by the Northwest Passage on the Milwaukee Road. The train company kindly rerouted my ticket. In Seattle, Washington, I had a sister, Celeste, whose husband is Dr. Morton E. Basson. He arranged for me to tell the story into a dictaphone, and he had his secretary type it. He tested me for extrasensory perception at the same time. He is interested in ESP, as many people are today. Nothing significant was found. Thus, the 22 pages, the nucleus of a book, suddenly were there in my hands. From this, all the writing has stemmed and has grown into three separate books, the first one completed being Linda. To the Glory of God. Part 1. Let Linda tell it.
My name is Linda. I was born on March 2nd, 1942. My mother's name is Eleanor and my father's name is Earl. The place where I was born was Urbana, Illinois. It was in a hospital. The doctor said I was the best baby they ever had in the nursery. I never cried. I weighed 8 pounds and 4 ounces. I was born at 1:40 p.m. at the Carl Memorial Hospital. Dr. Bodine was Mommy's doctor, Dr. Gillespie mine. I was fat and red, and they thought I was very healthy. But I had a little red birthmark on my left shoulder. Ford Doolittle was in the crib next to me. He cried all the time. He was long and large-boned. He left the hospital before I did because he was born in February. His mommy and mine both got beautiful birth certificates of us with a picture of the hospital on the front and on the back a poem about angels and a picture of one. The G.C. Willis Company store gave it as a present. Ford's mommy, Mary, and my mommy were good friends. Ford and I always knew each other. When I was 18 months old, we moved next door to Ford, to the little white house at 113 West Pennsylvania Avenue. It was in September 1943. Before that, we lived in the house I went to when I left the nursery. It was rented. It was on South State Street in Champaign, the Twin City to Urbana. We lived at 715 South State Street until September 1943. We had a tremendous garden there because the lot was over 200 feet. It went way, way back to a road. There were 11 cherry trees. We grew lots of vegetables. Mommy put the fruit and vegetables up in jars. The most beautiful cherry tree was in the middle of the lot in back of the house, next to a grape arbor that the landlord had built. There were red cherries on the tree. The other cherry trees were Royal Anne. They were yellow. All of the cherries were delicious. There was one apple tree. It had two kinds, but only two apples on it. It was grafted. We ate the yellow one. A horse came through and ate the red one. We had peas and tomatoes and lettuce and carrots and string beans and orca and corn and soybeans and all kinds of things from the garden. We had angel food cake a lot because Mommy gave me the yolks of eggs and used the whites for the cakes. Eleanor, the girl next door, was old enough to stay with me sometimes. There were the Hyde girls, too. One said I looked like Shirley Temple. She liked me and was very jolly. She stayed with me lots of times. Her name was Margaret. Another neighbor, Miss Lawson, said I would be a preacher because I always stood on the screened-in front porch talking and pointing up to the sky with my index finger. My finger curved under very far when I wanted it to. Mommy's did too, but nobody else seemed to be able to do this, just Mommy and me. We like to show people how we made our finger look like a half moon. I had one special toe I called Putzer. I took the Putzer all the time. The landlord wanted to move into our home after a while, so we had to find another house. The only house we could afford, because houses cost so much money, was a house next door to Ford, number 113. He lived at 115 West Pennsylvania Avenue with his mother, Mary, his father, Warren, and his sister, Kathy, and a beagle. Mommy met Mary and Warren when they first came from Florida to Urbana because their mothers belonged to the artist studio group above the Busey Bank. It was a funny coincidence. Ford and I were next to each other in our bassinets in the nursery in the hospital, and then we lived next to each other in Urbana. When we lived in Champaign, the city next door to Urbana, I sucked my left thumb all the time because there weren't any friends there like Ford. I was lonely. Mommy went to see Mary one day to have a visit when I was 12 months and 2 weeks old. They talked about Ford and me and said we might walk before long. I was home with Daddy. He put me in a corner and took everything away from me. Then I had to walk. I screamed. But then I knew I could walk and run without falling, and I ran to the door to meet Mommy when she came home. Her eyes nearly popped out when she saw me running to the door. She was so proud. So was I. She called Mary on the telephone to tell her about it. Not very long after that, my friend Ford got to be my very best friend. He lived next door, so we played together all the time. We had games nobody else knew about. We had all kinds of games with our imaginations. Nobody else ever could even dream up such games except Ford and me. We liked to play together more than with anybody else. I never played with anybody else like Ford. There were many other children on the block, and I liked to play with the very little ones sometimes, especially one little girl named Elizabeth Ann. She let me decide when she had quarrels with the other children. Her mother said Elizabeth Ann sensed I was fair and just. That was very nice of her. Later on, I decided who was right when all the little children had quarrels, and they listened too. I loved them very much. When we moved to the street in Urbana, I could walk and run, and I could talk in long sentences. Mommy went around smiling because I was only 18 months old and I was able to speak perfect grammatical sentences, involved and complex. I didn't know what that meant, but I was glad that I could talk clearly. Everyone understood what I meant. Cammy lived on this street. She was my girlfriend. There were Denny and Elizabeth Ann and lots of other little children. We all played outside most all the time. I had a gym set with swings and bars that the little girl who lived in my little white house had before I moved there. We all had different collections. I had coins and dolls and stamps and fuzz, lots of fuzz. Green fuzz, blue fuzz, tan fuzz, pink fuzz, to tickle my nose with and to hold on to make me feel warm. We had lots of parties on the street where we lived in the little white house. One party was a sugar plum tree party. I asked Mommy one day where the sugar plum tree was. She invited all the children to come to find out. And there was a tree with a gingham dog that Mrs. Dougherty, the landlady in Champagne, gave me when I was very little. There was a calico cat and all the sweets the poem tells about. Here is the poem. Have you ever heard of the sugar plum tree? 'Tis a marvel of great renown. It blooms on the shore of the lollipop sea, in the garden of the shut-eye town. The fruit that it bears is so wondrously sweet, as those who have tasted it say, that good little children have only to eat of the fruit to be happy next day. When you've got to the tree, you would have a hard time to capture the fruit which I sing. The tree is so tall that no person could climb to the boughs where the sugar plums swing. But up in that tree sits a chocolate cat and a gingerbread dog prowls below. And this is the way you contrive to get at the sugar plums tempting you so. You say but the word to that gingerbread dog, and he barks with such terrible zest that the chocolate cat is at once all agog, as her swelling proportions attest. And the chocolate cat goes cavorting around from this leafy limb unto that, and the sugar plums tumble, of course, to the ground. Hurrah for that chocolate cat! There are marshmallows, gumdrops, and peppermint canes with stripings of scarlet or gold, and you carry away of the treasure that rains as much as your apron can hold. So come, little child, cuddle closer to me in your dainty white nightcap and gown, and I'll rock you away to that sugar plum tree in the garden of Shut-Eye Town. It was The Sugar Plum Tree by Eugene Field, and all the children dreamed about the tree after the party. All the children on the street came to the party. There were Cammie Kearns and Mary Ann and Denny and Ford and Elizabeth Ann and all the others. Donna Lee Strong wasn't there. She was my best girlfriend until she moved away. I had lots of fun with Donna. I cried very much when she left. She went to live near Chicago. We loved each other. Her mother, Arlene, was with us a lot. She liked athletics. She helped Donna and me with lots of games. We had mothers with motherality on our street. Cammie's mother, Denny's mother, Ford's mother, and all the other mothers had motherality. They all looked out for all the children. Gail lived nearby. She was a little older, but we liked to have her with us whenever she came. We had a Halloween party. All the children came to listen to records. It was The Sorcerer's Apprentice. We heard the broom and the music, and we heard all the sounds of the story as Mommy told it. We all had costumes on. I was Little Red Riding Hood. Ford was an animal with a long tail. We all sat around in a circle and listened. Nobody made any noise. We paid attention. Then we ate ice cream and candy and cake, and then all my friends went home. Ford and I were always running in and out. We were always adding to our treasures. We collected silver foil from anything we could find. We rolled this into balls. I had all Mommy's old jewelry and old pocketbooks in my collections. Ford liked to draw. So did I. So we had lots and lots of boxes of crayons and pencils and chalk. I collected combs, too, for my dolls and for my friends and me. I had charms from everywhere, especially from bubblegum machines. One charm was a ship. Ford gave it to me. A lot of charms were presents to me. One charm bracelet has scissors that opened and closed, a ground roller, and a diary that opened. When I had to stay in, if the weather was bad or if I had a cold, I could see out my corner bedroom windows. It was on the first floor. One window looked at Ford's house. One window looked at my little ash tree with red berries and lace leaves. I liked to look at the white snow and the rain, or we made cookies. Aunt Celeste sent cookie cutters in a pastry tube to make fancy cookies. She knew Mommy and I were always making cookies in the green kitchen. Mommy and I had one mother and daughter set. It was a pinafore, one for me, one for her, with ruffles. We always put them on. Then we made the dough. We rolled the dough. I had my own toy utensils. I loved to roll the dough that Mommy gave me. I put all kinds of fancy things on top. We had colored sugar to sprinkle on and silver balls to put on top and chocolate jimmies. And while I rolled the dough, I always chewed on bubble gum. When I wasn't chewing bubble gum, I was chewing on a balloon that I blew up every once in a while. I loved balloons and chewing gum. I liked dentine, and I also liked using pretty toothpicks to play with. One day I was outside. I saw Mommy standing at the door, laughing and laughing. I was skipping, and while I skipped, my hat was falling back onto my head, and a balloon was hanging from my mouth. She thought it was funny. She was always watching me, and I liked for her to. Every once in a while, I blew up the balloon and plucked on it with my fingers. Ford and I had a pretty good balloon collection, but none of them lasted long. When Ford and I got older, we added to our collections. We had stones and rocks and rubber bands and paper clips. Ford had lots of fishing poles. We played with all kinds of objects in our sand piles. Ford always talked about Christopher Robin, who was his friend. I played in my sand pile in the driveway on the front lawn where it was first. I loved it so much that one day Mommy came home and I didn't even see her. She stood there watching me a long time, she said. I was wearing a dress she made for me out of a tan and green polka dot dress she saw before I was born. She made me a hat to match that tied under my chin. I had a gray coat Mommy made out of a gray tweed shirt she had before I was born, and it was trimmed with blue velvet from her wedding dress. My grandmommy and granddaddy sent me clothes, and so did my aunts, but Mommy liked the clothes she made for me. They reminded her of when she didn't have me, and then she could think how happy she was to have me. That's what she said. Mommy and I took walks every day, and we talked about God. When I was 2 years old, my daddy went in the Navy to be on a ship as an officer in 1944. We made cookies for him every week, and we sent them to the ship. We were in our little green kitchen so many times, and one day I told Mommy all about God. I knew all about God because He is my Father, and He always took care of me and Mommy, too. But I wanted her to know how God really lived far away and knew more than anybody here will ever know. He is the only one who really knows everything. Nobody else can know as much as God. He knows the end of everything in the very beginning. He made the world. I pointed up to the sky. I told Mommy how great, how wonderful God is. I told her how much we had to love Him because He gives us everything. I was glad I could talk in long sentences because Mommy understood me. She sat down on the kitchen chair at the curved green corner table, and she was very quiet. When I went out to play, she was still sitting there. When I came back, she was still there. She looked very serious. She looked at me with a strange look. Then she picked me up and loved me and kissed me and hugged me. She couldn't tell me right away. Then she said, "God sent you to me, my baby, and He is letting you teach me." We always knew what we thought after that. We knew we must always think about God first. Mommy started to read and to study because she wanted to know more and more. I wanted her to tell me everything she learned. We had long conversations that were very serious, but we had laughing games too, and we were very, very happy. We had such good times in the kitchen together, cracking nuts and eating them, and rolling them for cookies. We played most of the time, but we read too. We both had lots of books. Mommy started reading to me when I was 6 months old. I loved looking at the pictures. I learned to turn pages. Daddy read to me too. I had a book house for children and the books of knowledge. Ford had the knowledge books. They were his greatest books, he said. Mommy bought the knowledge books for me when Daddy was away. She wanted me to have my book house and the book of knowledge. Then I had all the beautiful literature and all the facts, too. The Heritage Club books for juniors were special presents. There were Little Women and Huckleberry Finn and The Wind in the Willows, and they were all protected by boxes we kept them in. I took very, very good care of all my books. For a while, I liked my beautiful Babar the Elephant books best. Raggedy Ann's stories were my favorites, too, and the Little Golden books and the Giant Golden books, and Pinocchio and Walt Disney's stories. I had a special pin that said, Member of the Junior Heritage Club. I was a charter member in the club, it said. Ford and I loved books as much as we loved our games. They were our best friends. We compared all our books. We played with clay and with candle drippings. We could make lots of things from soft wax, and the candles were different, beautiful colors. We could make lots of little things because our fingers were little. We molded the wax and the clay into all kinds of shapes. The sand in Ford's sandbox was brown, and we could mix it with the special pure white sand Mommy bought for my sandbox. His was heavy. Mine was fine. I got lots of presents. Mommy's Uncle Morris came to see us from St. Louis, where he used to live before he retired to Florida, and he gave me a beautiful pink and white fawn. Granddaddy gave me a scooter and a music box and a doll carriage when I lived in Urbana. I rode my scooter in my yellow pinafore all the time on the block. We had a sloping pavement in one place in front of our house, and I always had to follow the dip. I loved the scooter Granddaddy gave me. He knew what I liked. The music box played a beautiful tune. It was blue, and children moved up and down in front of a little glass case while it played. My dolls were able to sleep in a beautiful carriage. It was brown, and it was not metal at all because it was wartime. Ford liked bottle tops for a collection, too, but I didn't, so I gave him all I could find. We stopped collecting them after a while. We both liked our trading cards. All the kids liked to trade cards. It was one of our most fun things to do. We liked the Old Maid card game and Tinker Toys. I had a Hootenanny game to make designs from Knowlton and Bennett, a store in Urbana. My dollhouse furniture collection grew and grew. Grandmommy sent the dollhouse. It was white, like our house at number 113. Daddy put that number on the door of the dollhouse. Aunt Dorothy sent the wonderful sink and refrigerator and the stove for the kitchen. I had a Jeep that Ford loved. It was a real model of a real Jeep. I was very proud of owning it, for Daddy rode on a Jeep while he was away. I had a toolkit with all the tools, child-size screwdriver and pliers and everything else. I had a peg set that I used to concentrate on a lot of the time while making letters. We went to California to see my daddy when his ship was stationed at Long Beach. I was almost 3 years old. It was in January 1945. I took along my soft rose-colored rabbit that I loved. He wore overalls and had a nice cuddly velvet skin. It was a long trip, and I walked up and down the train almost the whole time. Mommy sat and talked to people. She still didn't feel very well from the fall she had on the ice in December. But we were both so happy to see my daddy. I wore my red sailor hat and my blue and white sailor blouse with a skirt and my white gloves, and I carried my little red patent leather pocketbook. I ran all over the ship. Daddy played with me and made more funny drawings for me. He always made them to be like a dictionary, to explain things in a funny way like a comic book. He carried me piggyback, too. One of the other officers was our friend, Ralph Sorvig. He was very good to us. One of the crew had a pin made for me out of a piece of metal. It was my name, Linda. We were there for a few days, and we went to the beach. It was my first time at the ocean. In Urbana, we didn't have any water near us. It was foggy and damp, but I took off my shoes and socks and walked into the wet sand. I saw a seagull. I said, "There's the dove with the olive branch." Mommy and Daddy read the story of Noah to me lots of times, and I always stopped them to talk about the dove. They told me it was not a dove, but a seagull with seaweed in its mouth. We visited the stores near the beach. I rode on a merry-go-round, and Mommy and Daddy watched me. Then I wanted to go home to see Donna, my little friend. I was lonely for my White House. We met all the officers and the men. Daddy explained how his job as the communications officer was a very busy one. We had dinner on board the ship. When we left him, I looked back from the train to see orange groves. I asked Mommy about the trees with all the oranges and learned how they grew. I love to eat oranges, and there they were growing on the trees. I picked up some pretty shells while I was on the beach, so all the way back I played with the seashells. Daddy sent me more shells from the islands when he went to Okinawa, and he sent a Japanese war doll who looked real, with a sword and a frightful helmet, a samurai warrior. I got soap wrappers at the hotel where we stayed, so I had another collection. I had flags, too. They were little paper flags from all the different countries. I pasted them on cardboard sticks. I had coins from different lands, too. Daddy sent them from all over the Pacific. When I got back, Ford and I talked about the trip. We talked about Peter Rabbit all the time, too. He was a real person to us. We made snowmen whenever it snowed. We played in the snow all day. We rolled in it and ate it when it first fell. It was very clean and white. I had a wooden sled. It was red, white, and blue with USS Linda painted on it. Daddy's ship was the USS Rockingham, APA 229. The sled was made like a boat with sides on it so I could never fall off. A friend of Mommy's made it for me out of hardwood. For a while, I went to a nursery school. But a little boy pulled my hair out and I had colds, so Mommy kept me home. I met friends there who came to play with me, Michael Tepper and Bobby Sink. I went to another nursery school, a music nursery school, on West Green Street in Champaign later on. Mrs. Foster and her daughters were in charge of it. They taught me my first piano lessons. I liked them very much. When Daddy came back from the Navy, I played there in a recital. It was very cold in Champaign, Urbana, but I had lots of warm clothes. I had a leopard muff and hat trimmed in leopard fur that Aunt Lorraine once had when she was a little girl. I had another muff. It was a golden brown fur with a puppy's face on top, floppy ears, and brown eyes almost hidden by the fur. I liked the perfume and bubble bath and fancy powder. I had a powder mitt that Mommy always dusted on me after my bath. She always wrapped me in a big, white, soft cotton cloak with a hood so I wouldn't get chilled. I wore the knitted wool clothes Daddy's mother made when I was little. They kept me warm and they were beautiful. When Daddy came back, we both toasted marshmallows and ate lots of popcorn and peanut butter because he liked these things too. We both liked the same things to eat. We liked tomato soup, spaghetti, corn, milk, hamburgers, tuna salad, mushrooms, French fried potatoes, potato chips, pancakes, French toast, scrambled eggs, toast, cheese, apples, seedless grapes, and crunchy cereal. We like chocolate pudding better than any other dessert. I helped stir it. I usually had a good appetite. Mommy and I both liked licorice, and we liked to eat raisins out of boxes. I loved picnics. We had lots of them in the backyard. I had my friends over, and we sat at my little white table. Ford and I often went to the park near us in Urbana. It was called Carl Park, and we liked to look at the statue of Abraham Lincoln at the entrance on Race Street. There's a wonderful playground there. We liked the swings, and we could run all over the soft grass. One day we had a picnic there. We packed our wicker basket and took our jug, too. We stayed all day. We had lots of fun. Ford ran so fast he almost fell over himself lots of times. I laughed and laughed because he was so funny. We looked at the different kinds of trees. They were all sizes and shapes. Some were straight. Some were crooked. We talked about the kinds of trees there. Ford and I went to the Leal School Kindergarten together in 1947 when we were 5 years old. We walked to the school. It wasn't far. We liked it very much there. I went to Sunday school at the Jewish temple in Champaign, and I rode on the bus to get there or drove there with